Well, what wonderful presentations those two were, and stimulating thought about what impact we can actually have in the community, and what stimulating presentations those were, and letting us think about what we can do as far as enhancing screening in the institutions and also the impact in the community. So welcome to part two. This is called One More for the Prevention Tool Belt, Dispensing Condoms in Adult Correctional Facilities. So why is it that we want to have condoms available to incarcerated individuals? Well, back in 1993, the WHO UNAIDS policy came out saying that all prisoners have the right to receive health care, including prevention measures equivalent to that available in the community without discrimination. This is also echoed today by John Douglas in the conversation, his lecture this morning, that they have a, it's absolutely important that everybody receives the same community level as far as services. Why are condoms for incarcerated individuals? Well, clearly, as both Sean and Kwame demonstrated, sexual risk behaviors are certainly occurring within, or they're well documented. In California, we actually had an outbreak in one of our prisons, the California men's prison, and there were 30 cases of syphilis identified this last year. I think there was one other situation where there was an outbreak of syphilis, but I don't think it was published. So this was kind of interesting to us, and Jenny Brodsky will be presenting on that on Thursday. Also, Kim, one of our speakers, had some data about 20% of the individuals that she looked at were HIV infected, and 5% were recently documented HIV negatives, and these are the individuals that acquired while they were in the institutions. So the population is disproportionately impacted by HIV, STDs, and hepatitis. So in the world, there are more progressive thinkers than there are here in this country as far as being able to provide condoms for prisoners. You can see that, you know, it's throughout the European Union and others in South America. In the United States, there's really been very few places that have documented the distribution of condoms. Los Angeles, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and we have Washington, D.C. and San Francisco here today, New York City and Philadelphia, and these are programs that are doing condom dispensing in jails. In prisons, there's a little bit less of a picture. Mississippi has one program, and also the Solano California State Prison, which Kim is going to be presenting on today. There have been a few evaluation studies done internationally, and it's clear that they have decided or determined that dispensing condoms in prisons or jails or any correctional setting really does not pose any threat to safety and security. It does not increase sexual activity or drug trafficking. They're used by prisoners when they're available to prevent them from acquiring any disease. And they're generally accepted by the inmates and staff once the program's established, and that's a very key point, once the program's established. So the other item that's really of interest is that not one of the institutions that have started dispensing condoms in prisons or jails has reported any incident at all. And none of them have changed their policy. So that's a very good sign that they haven't had any issues to want to turn around and change that policy. So with that, I want to announce our speakers. The first speaker is Kate Monaco Klein, and she is the director of the Forensic AIDS Project, a program of San Francisco Department of Public Health Jail Services Division that was created in the mid-1980s and was one of the first public health programs in the country to address HIV/AIDS in detention facilities. She began working in the San Francisco County Jails as a VISTA volunteer, prisoner advocate. Since then, she has worked primarily in prisoner health and advocacy and women's health and policy development. She came to FAP 10 years ago from the Office of Director of Public Health, where she developed the Office of Women's Health. Today, FAP coordinates rapid HIV testing and disclosure counseling, and for those prisoners who are HIV positive, linkages to FAP's Center of Excellence for Primary Care, Case Management, Discharge Planning, and Aftercare Services, which includes housing placement and healthcare follow-up. Our other speaker, Henry Lisansky, is appointed as the Health Services Administrator by the Director Devin Brown of the D.C. Department of Corrections in February of 2006. He's responsible for the management, supervision, oversight, and performance monitoring of comprehensive health services provided under contracts for 18,000 pretrial and sentenced offenders housed annually. The DOC healthcare system operates under the community-oriented correctional healthcare model, which she'll be telling you more about, the first urban site for unique implementation of an integrated process of early assessment, prompt and effective treatment, prevention, health education, and discharge planning for continuity of care. Dr. Lisansky, a native of Washington, has over 23 years of executive management experience in correctional services and public safety in the District of Columbia in the state of Maryland. He's been a program manager for the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives, worked in the United States Senate in criminal justice issues, and has served as a consultant in the community-oriented policing services, COPS, to the Police Foundation in Washington, D.C. And our final speaker will be Kim Lucas. She is she has her MPH in epidemiology and biostatistics from the University of California. She worked for 7 years as a research scientist and corrections liaison for the California Department of Public Health Office of AIDS. In December, she accepted a position as the epidemiologist with the California Prisoner Healthcare Services Public Health Unit. Kim is currently the principal investigator for two research projects in collaboration with the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. One study aims to compare individuals' partner-related social contextual HIV risks among African Americans and white HIV-positive and recently documented HIV-negative male prisoners. The second is a comprehensive evaluation of the condom access pilot program that was conducted last year in one California state prison. Kim has extensive experience leading and coordinating research in the prison setting, working closely with custody and medical staff, and conducting face-to-face sexual and drug use risk assessments with prisoners. So with that, I give you Kate.